B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, the show you'll be talking about.
That was not me hemming and hawing.
In therapy.
Socks.
Filker and Mass. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I think that he had his doubts in the offseason about what they were doing and the direction that they were going. And this start to camp has only confounded his fears and, you know, has led him to be frustrated. And I don't know this for a fact, but just watching him and talking to people, that, you know, he's questioning everything that's going on and where they're going. And if they don't start seeing success very quickly, the Patriots are either going to have to change streams or they risk losing the players. And that includes Mac Jones, the most important guy. I mean, the other day on Monday, he was completely flustered. I mean, I know you guys read it yesterday. There were a couple plays where I was like, did he really try on that play? Or did he just say, like, this has no chance and just throw it out there, you know, whether it was to Kendrick Bourne or there was a pass to J.J. Taylor, like a little check down where he had to scramble and J.J. Taylor's right there and he bounces it 4 yards in front of him. It didn't even have a chance. For the first time ever, I looked at Mac Jones and I'm like, is he all in on this? Does he believe in what's going on here? And if they don't get success soon, I think that's a real fear.
Again, final hour, Felger and Maz here on August 10th from our temporary Town Fair Tire studios in Needham at the NBC Media Group. That was Greg Bedard. He did 2 hours with us. Well, I'll call it an hour and 50 minutes because we had a little technical difficulty to begin the program. Again, the full podcast, the hour-long podcast, up on 98.5thesportshub.com. Pretty strong commentary right there on Mac Jones. He had doubts about what they were doing in the offseason. The start to training camp has only compounded it. He said confounded. I think he meant compounded it. Okay. The start to camp has only compounded it. He's questioning everything that's gone on offensively. And matters have to improve or it has to be scrapped. Or the Patriots are risking losing some of their players, including Mac Jones. And the way that he's been carrying himself recently leads one to question, is he really all in on this and the buy-in? And so when we've talked here a lot the last couple of days about his buy-in and all of this, this is part of what I'm basing it on, is the commentary I've heard from people who are a little more tapped in, like Greg Bedard or Jimmy Stewart or, you know, whoever, that these are sort of rumblings that have been going on since the offseason. And I think it's real, and I wonder how it's going to play out. Now, I'll just say, you know, in the next breath, I don't think they've, like, lost the player.
Right.
Or he's going to demand a trade, or are we going to have a strike here or a holdout? Or, like, don't go crazy. I'm just, in this moment in time, in this snippet in time, Mac Jones is questioning what's going on, and he's not all in, and he's having a tough time with it. And this is going on right now. What happens in the future? I can't tell you. Do they come out on the other side of it? Do they work through it? And are they stronger because of it? Certainly possible. But here's what I know. Things were looking pretty good for the kid heading into year two. And instead of just keeping the train on the tracks and doing what they were doing, they're changing everything up, not giving him any help in the coaching staff. In fact, hurting him on the coaching staff, giving him a couple coaches that have no experience doing what they're doing right now. And I wonder if he's looking at this and going, I'm not being put in a position to succeed, and he's not buying in because of it. And I think that's where they're at right now.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, there's something wrong there with the dynamic. And so, look, let's just play it out. If there had been an issue in the offense last year, who could Jones talk to about it?
Oh, McDaniels.
Josh?
Definitely McDaniels. They were joined at the hip. Right? He was with him all the time. Hey, I like this. Hey, I don't like this. And they built a relationship.
Never mind. He, you know, the quarterback coach he came in with, which, again, Mick Lombardi, I'm not going to sit here and pine and bemoan the loss of the kid of a bobo. You know, again, it's a problem on the staff, but they lost four offensive assistants.
Correct.
So it's not just Josh, it's his quarterback coach.
Correct. So who does he go to now?
They have no offensive coordinator, and is Joe Judge officially the quarterback coach?
I think so.
Yes. Either way, fine. They have no official offensive coordinator, or his offensive coordinator is really the offensive line coach, and the quarterback coach is brand new to the job. Heretofore has just coached the kicking game and had a failed stint as a head coach.
And how would you describe Joe Judge as a communicator?
Oh, I think...
Fake?
Oh, my God. If you're a player, I wonder how you...
He talks in cliches.
What's the word I would use to describe?
He doesn't speak with you. He speaks at you. Right? It's just like, you know, he sounds like he's reading out of a textbook. You know, the scallop technique. And, like, he's giving you that. I don't know him that well other than, you know, I've had a conversation with him and, you know, I've seen him interact. McDaniels felt like a human being to me. Okay? So, like, that's a big change. So, again, you've got a rookie coming into the NFL. He's probably intimidated and terrified in his first year to begin with. He builds trust in a relationship with his offensive coordinator. The thing overall goes pretty well. They guide him through it. They get along. They're together the whole time. Year two, they get rid of, I shouldn't say they get rid of, but the guy leaves. They replace him with people who have no experience on that side of the ball, who don't possess nearly the people skills, and now they're changing the offense. How would you feel if you're that kid?
Oh, the way he feels.
Exactly, exactly. So again, this comes back to a million decisions. It's the decision to bring in coaches who have no experience on that side of the ball, and some of whom can't communicate all that well anyway. Let's not forget that Joe Judge, when he was handling the receivers, had a veteran receiver say to him, you don't know what the hell you're doing, or you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I'm still trying to come up with the adjective that you asked me for. How would I describe Joe Judge's communication technique if I were a player? I'd say problematic.
Yeah, I
don't know.
But it's
sort of untrustworthy.
Right, it's artificial. It's plastic.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it's just not
cliched middle management.
Yeah. It's not real. It's not genuine. It's not an honest human conversation.
So I said the court, and I was also trying to figure out the quarterback coach last year. The quarterback coach last year, they didn't list one. If I'm looking at this right. Oh, quality. No. Quality control quarterbacks was Bo Hardigree. Did he go too? Yeah, now he's with the Raiders.
He's with the Raiders.
So the quarterback coach was ostensibly Bo Hardigree. It was really Josh McDaniels. The receiver coach was Mick Lombardi, so I just got that confused. Either way, they're all gone. The offensive line coach was Carmen Brasillo, gone. So they're starting over with guys out of place, inexperienced. And so with a new system, when he was all lined up to go big in year two. So I think this has gotten to him. And I think you're seeing it on the field now. So they had apparently a better day yesterday. And Mac, you know, gave lip service, I thought, to some positive things. So I asked Greg a follow-up. You know, did yesterday change anything? Give me number two there, Jimmy, if you could.
It was a little bit better because it was like 75%. The pass rush eased up a bit. No, I did not believe what he had to say. I think that there was some sort of discussion, whether that was among the players or, you know, what have you, on, you know, maybe the coaches were telling them in the meeting, hey, maybe they showed them a bunch of film that said, hey, look, if we do this a little bit better, then we're not that far away. And they kept, you know, maybe reinforcing that because they do need to do some of that. I'm not dispelling that and saying, like, that's not reality. Sometimes you have to create your own reality to get players to buy in. And I think perhaps some of that was done yesterday before practice and the players sort of bought in and then they went out there. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they say, hey, ease up on the pass rush a little bit. But still, there's nothing down the field at all. I mean, I forget what it's like to watch Devontae Parker and Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Agholor catch balls down the field. I mean, it's really the offense that they're trying to run, and they have to do it because that's where it's been such a disaster. They have gone back to, like, this feels like a high school install. Let's get the basics down. Let's dump the ball into the flat. Let's check it down just to gain a little confidence. That's where it feels like they're at right now.
Okay, so still very tenuous times for Mac Jones. and the offense. He had one. There's a couple more cuts I want to play. I'll just play this one before we go to break and get back to your calls. Your first round pick, you know, controversial pick. You know, a lot of good young, you know, fast linebackers that profiled to be NFL players. Big position of need. You passed on those. You passed on skill, speed positions, and you drafted the guard, thinking it was a safe pick. Number four, Jimmy, how has Cole Strange looked so far, your number one pick in camp? Bedard, who's your number two?
Cole Strange, the first round draft pick. I'm sure he'll be a fine player, and he might even on Thursday night or what have you. But to this point, right now, he has not been good in camp, and he's part of the issue on the offensive line. He's having trouble with the scheme. He has trouble in team, in one-on-ones. The only other offensive lineman who has a worse loss rate than him is Bill Murray, the converted guy who converted from defensive tackle to the offensive. Bill Murray went from defensive line last year to offensive line, and he's the only offensive lineman with a worse one-on-one record than Cole Strange, who I have is 2-6-1. He's gotten off to a rough start. He has trouble against power. He has trouble figuring out the scheme. He's been on skates at times. I know better days are ahead for him. I think he's going to be a really good player. I do think going from UT Chattanooga and his size, he's a tall guy, but he's not very thick. He's thin, especially in the lower body, which you worry about with interior offensive linemen. I think, you know, right now he might be a better tackle than a guard, but he's gotten off to a really rough start.
Can he be a starter? Bedard goes on to say he has to be. That's what they drafted him to be.
That's scary, though.
But it sounds like he ain't ready to be a starter. And, of course, Maz has to chime in with the Carl Spackler line.
Yeah, wise-ass line. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's beautiful. But so there's that, too. I just, how's the first-round pick? That was thought to be a safe pick, plug-and-play, ready-to-go, day-one starter. And he's been part of the problem with the offense and the offensive line.
What concerns me there more than anything is what he said about his lower body. You're going to get trucked. These guys are tanks, the guys up front in the NFL. They are freaking tanks with tree trunks for legs. If you don't have legs, you're going to get freaking steamrolled.
Okay. You'll hear one more of a Bedard cut about this offensive install and how it was ill-conceived from a coaching standpoint coming up. And your calls, I promise, on everything we've hit on today right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
From observing the NFL, and I've been covering the NFL for 20 years and watching, different versions of offenses and things like that being installed, this is a highly precise, highly rhythmic blocking scheme and offense where... you can't paint by numbers. Like, you need an expert. You at least need a Kyle Shanahan or a Sean McVay or, Taylor in Cincinnati or LaFleur in Green Bay. Guys who have been in it for years, who have seen it installed. All these guys have installed it at different places, saw how it worked, what kind of schedule. I'm sure Bill got this from Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay. Hey, how'd you do this? And because we want to do some of this at least. And it takes a lot of time. The zone blocking scheme, I've sat in on offensive line meetings and with offensive line coaches talking about it. And it is much more than the previous blocking scheme. You have to be precise. And I'm talking about when you watch the offensive line, everybody's foot needs to go in the same direction, same angle at the same time. The handwork needs to be perfect and it needs to hit the blocker at the right time for things to work. And I just don't know, without having an expert, whether that's a Shanahan or even an offensive line coach, like Alec Gibbs who installed it in Denver and things like that, without having that, Because we have seen it work. We've seen it installed a bunch of different players and places and work quickly. Without having those guys there who know exactly how to install it and what it's supposed to look like and exactly the time frame that you need to hit things, I just look at it and I think they've half-assed a lot of this stuff. And in turn, that includes the schedule and the install. And I think they overestimated the expertise that you need and the time that you need to put into really doing this if you want to do it.
Well, that's just great.
that's the perfect Mass chime. They're all good chime-ins.
But that really is the perfect response for that, because that summary is really like, it's almost like choreography, saying like their steps have to be going the right way. It all has to be synced in. It has to be run by someone that's done it and seen it. Instead, it's...
Patricia?
Yeah. Here's the PDF file of how you do it. We'll figure it out. It is. It's half-assed.
Yeah. You know, when Greg was describing that, you know what I thought of? Synchronized swimming. Like, everybody's going to be moving in sync, right? That's how the whole thing works. And so, and I'm thinking, and Bill thought he was just going to do this with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge.
So, again, I think he used the wrong word. They underestimated.
Correct.
How much time and expertise the thing takes.
Yeah, look at what you're talking about, the way Greg described it, and that was a good cut. Because as he said it in real time, I went, oh, this is interesting. Like, someone's actually explaining how the thing works, which I liked. It's highly choreographed, is what you're talking about. So it's highly schemed and choreographed.
So let's have somebody
judge a Patricia.
We have two guys who've never done it before.
This would be like me watching YouTube clips of how to be a dentist, going to get a white coat and say, "Hey, you want me to guys work on your teeth?" I mean, really, it's ridiculous.
It is. It really is ridiculous. Which is why, again, I come back to Bill on that. I'm sorry. As much as we mock Patricia and Judge, it's really about the decision to put them in their role.
Of course.
Like, what are we doing here? Like, you know, so this is Bill Belichick's solution. Let me just call one of my buddies who can explain it to me over a beer some night, you know, and then I'll give the paperwork to Judge and Patricia and they'll do it. Like, that's what it feels like. And Mac Jones is sitting there going, I got to explain the offense to these guys. What are you talking about?
Meanwhile, they took the weekend off, gave the players 2 days off, and I don't know what Bill and Patricia were doing. I think
that's just great.
I think they went away. They did. Bill, I don't think, went to Canton.
I don't think so either.
I mean, which by the way would be a you know, an excused absence. We would all understand. All right, that's his first drafted player in the Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fame Patriot. You go support it. Of course, give everybody the day off. I think he was on the bucket on Nantucket, you know, so it's like.
I think, by the way, independent of the football part of it, I think it's a bad look that he wasn't there for Seymour. So that's just an aside.
Totally.
Total aside.
Totally.
Nobody's talked about it, and I just think that's a bad look.
When Richard Seymour shouted him out and the camera had nowhere to go, like when Richard Seymour thanked Robert Kraft, you know, there's a shot of Robert Kraft blowing him a kiss. Like, that's what they always do. And when he's, you know, thanked Ty Law and thanked Anthony Pleasant and thanked all the former players, the players that were there, the cameras immediately cut to them. And that's how it's all choreographed. And he did that for Bill, and they had nowhere to go with the camera because he wasn't there.
I mean, I just think it's such a bad, bad look. But anyway.
I'm telling you, this is a hidden part of it. He does not burn the midnight oil like he used to, which I totally get, by the way. You know, at 70, you know, maybe I'll be doing the same. But that doesn't mean my boss has to keep me on my job if I'm not putting in the same amount of work.
Okay, so again, I can live with that part of it at 70. Well, then you delegate. But you delegate to people who can do the job.
Good Lord. All right. A lot of you have been waiting very patiently for this. So if you're still there, thank you. We'll be quick. John in Connecticut, go.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Hey, I thought one of the reasons they gave for changing this offense was it's like more of the offense that was running Alabama. And that, you know, they're talking about,
no.
And, you know, and Mac Jones taught him the offense. And
no.
Wasn't that? No, is that wrong?
No, John, you know what I think it is? Bill has always loved Mike Shanahan and has always, and thanks for the call and thanks for holding on, John. I appreciate it. I'll tell you what I think it is. I think Bill's always loved the Shanahan system. Always loved it from way, 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 way back when Bill first took the job and they'd play the Broncos. The Broncos.
Patriots used to have trouble with it.
They used to beat, they being the Broncos, used to beat the Patriots in the early 2000s with Brian Greasy at quarterback. Or
Jake Plummer.
Was Jake Plummer one of them?
Yes.
Like,
yeah. You know, he beat them in the playoff game.
It was Plummer. Yep. Right? So these crap bum quarterbacks would beat the Patriots when the Patriots were good. And Belichick always respected Mike Shanahan's offensive system, always said, this system gives me fits. He's always lusted after the system. But because he had Brady here and had success with his existing system, and his coaches were versed in the existing Charlie Weiss, Ron Earhart system, they never changed it. Well, now McDaniels is gone. There's a vacuum. There's no one to push back and say, we'll just keep doing what we're doing. Brady's gone. McDaniels gone. And now I think Bill says to himself, here's my chance to do what I've always admired and what I've always thought will work, which I disagree with. He's, you know, I don't think he should change it. But if he is going to, back to the cut to start the block, you've got to bring in people qualified to implement it.
Exactly. It's such a huge thing. He's in over his skis on this one. I mean, again, you know, he thinks Bill has an acute football mind, as we know, so maybe he understands the principles of it, but teaching it is another thing entirely, and you turn it over to Patricia and Judge.
Eddie in East Providence. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, afternoon. Hey, listen, good points, but Matt Jones has to maybe chill a little bit. Trust Belichick. Relax. It's his second year. I think he's listening to the stuff behind the scenes, you know, all of us pundits. I really do. He's listening, and just relax. Belichick, we'll get it done. Just be patient.
So you know what, Eddie? I don't think this is a horrible point. You're in your second year. Shut up.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, no, I agree with a certain amount of that.
I think there's, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a fine line of commentary. And, you know, part of me, like, sympathizes with it. Who are you? Kid, shut up. Call the play. Give it your all. Go home. Work on it. Come back the next day. Who are you? You know, you're not anybody yet. You know, does Mac Jones come in with an inflated sense?
Probably.
Of self-worth, Mr. National Champion, Alabama, like that sort of thing? I bet there's part of that.
Okay, so again, let's say that this were 20 years ago when it happened with Mac Jones.
With Tom Brady.
No.
I'm sorry.
Well, you had leaders on defense. Your team was built differently. You could support him, and you could have someone on the field say to him, shut the hell up, you don't know anything. Okay, so like I look at it now and say,
back then it wasn't all about the quarterback.
Well, right, when Brady
first took over, he was just kind of a glorified role player.
All right, so and this is what I'm getting at, right? You had established guys, you had a good defense.
Yeah.
You were built a different way. This team needs the quarterback to excel. They need him to excel. So you got to find it. Like, I do think your point about, or the caller's point about Mac Jones, totally 100% on the money. Shut your pie hole. You're in your second year. Just do your job. But Bill's got to get his buy-in now.
Tommy and Lynn, quick.
What's up, boys? This is what I got to say about Mac Jones. It seems like every day at camp, it seems like something bad's always happening, and the offense is struggling lately. And I love the kid, but it seems like these coaches are ruining the kid in his second year in. Bozos. Bozos, bozos, bozos.
Okay, Tommy, good call. They can't be ruining him. Like, he's just too young. It's just too long to go. But
they're not helping him right now.
Hopefully there's a point where we look back at this and say he had that hiccup in year two because they did this to him. And they all got through it. But, so, you know, it's hard not to look at it and go, why does he have to go through it?
Yeah, why make this more difficult than it really should be? After last year, everyone agreed, nationally, too. Like, what quarterback of the five drafted in the first round was in the best situation? It was Mac Jones and the Patriots. Now going into year two, that's no given.
Why are we doing this in the first place?
I mean, again, I tell you, this is like bad coaching 101. You're changing things when you don't need to change them. You have a young player that you need to develop and be cognizant of. Like, you have to factor that in. They're ignoring it. You need to hire capable assistants at age 70 that you can delegate to. He didn't. It just feels like a series of bad decisions at a bad time.
Okay, here comes an update from Big Jim Murray, and then we have a final segment of your wonderful phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger. I'm media scum.
And Mass.
The English is actually pretty good.
Felger and Mass.
This team is a mess.
98.5.
Seriously.
The Sports Hub.
Okay, we'll wrap it up with your calls here. We have some Durant action on the board, some Red Sox action on the board, but I'm still sort of stuck on this comment that Bedard made to us earlier about Mac Jones and his buy-in and how much he's invested in this, and is he questioning what's going on here? I thought it was a pretty... what's the word I want to use?
Alarming?
Alarming for sure.
Eye-opening.
Meaty, sensational, newsworthy bit of commentary is what I think it was. So I'm just going to play it for you one more time. This was Bedard on earlier with us. You can catch his full two-hour stint on 98.5thesportshub.com or the app. But this is on Mac Jones's buy-in. Does he have it right now? Go ahead, Jimmy.
I think that he had his doubts in the offseason about what they were doing and the direction that they were going. And this start to camp has only confounded his fears and, you know, has led him to be frustrated. And I don't know this for a fact, but just watching him and talking to people that, you know, he's questioning everything that's going on and where they're going. And if they don't start seeing success very quickly, the Patriots are either going to have to change streams or they risk losing the players. And that includes Mac Jones, the most important guy. I mean, the other day on Monday, he was completely flustered. I mean, I know you guys read it yesterday. There were a couple plays where I was like, did he really try on that play? Or did he just say, like, this has no chance and just throw it out there, you know, whether it was to Kendrick Bourne or there was a pass to J.J. Taylor, like a little check down where he had to scramble and J.J. Taylor's right there and he bounces it 4 yards in front of him. It didn't even have a chance. For the first time ever, I looked at Mac Jones and I'm like, is he all in on this? Does he believe in what's going on here? And if they don't get success soon, I think that's a real fear.
So I just think that's an important story right now with the Patriots. So we're hitting on that and everything else. Back to your phones here, as promised. We've got John in Waltham. Go ahead, John, with David Andrews leading that meeting the other day. Did that say anything to you?
Well, it's what you guys said about it. You said Mac Jones should have been running the meeting, and then today you're telling him to shut up. Which way you want it? He's the one that's going to take the lumps on the field and the arrows off it.
Oh, that's not... Well, the caller said it, and I think it's not a bad point. I think we're talking about belly aching publicly or carrying yourself a certain way. I don't think anyone said he shouldn't gather the team and motivate him to have a better day. Who said that?
Nobody. No, but I understand his point.
I mean, you're confusing the two. I don't think David Andrews was complaining. I think David Andrews was telling his teammates to get their heads out of their ass. So if Mac Jones was doing that, I don't think that would be a problem. The caller raised that he should, as a young player, sort of sit there, take the coaching, and try and be better, you know, just worry about himself for now and try and be better and take the coaching and shut his pie hole. I just thought it was an interesting point. If Mac Jones wants to rally the troops and tell them all to get their heads out of their asses and be better, I don't think anyone would be complaining about that.
No, and the fact that it wasn't him, again, I think tells you where he is on it. So he's one of the guys that's struggling with it. And if he's struggling with it, well, then they're in trouble. And he's the quarterback. Like, you know, let's not go any farther than that. Tomorrow, I want to go back to those comments he made last week. I want to find that comment where he said, I'm the quarterback. I know what works and what doesn't.
Oh, yeah. He said that a couple times. He was asked about being able to change the play at the line of scrimmage. So he said it a couple different times.
Yeah.
Max in the truck. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I blame Bill Belichick for this offense not working. He brings in Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, who they both have no clue what the hell they're doing. I wish Bill Belichick would bring in a guy like Adam Gase to run this offense. Like, the poor kid is going to be ruined by the end of the season.
Well, let's hope he's not ruined. But
Jesus, this is what it's become, though. People clamoring for Adam Gase.
You know, as long as Gase has run that system, I'm trying to think if he did. I mean,
I don't remember if he did.
He was Tebow's offensive coordinator and got something out of him in Denver, right? Like, that was like his claim to fame. Were they still running that thing there in Denver? Like, I can't remember. I don't know.
His claim to fame there with Denver was that he had Peyton Manning when it was Peyton Manning. Like, I think he got too much credit for that.
I don't feel like he's the same system.
I don't know.
Look, again, I can't go that far back.
They should have hired someone with experience in that system.
Or how about just leaving the system as it is and get a real offensive coordinator?
Or not changing the system, right? There's something. Not changing it up on your young quarterback who had success in what he was doing. Chris in Maine holding on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment about if I was in the front office of the Red Sox, I couldn't be happy with my manager's managing of the team. What do you think?
Okay, Maz, do you think Alex Cora is, I don't know, Dick Heimblum's looking at Alex Cora? What do you think about his status?
I think that there's a disconnect there, and I think he's right. When I say he's right, I mean, I think the front office is looking at Cora and saying, you're not helping. And they're probably right. I mean, I don't think Cora is helping, per se, and I'm not talking about who he puts in to pitch. At this stage, forget it. The games are, you know, irrelevant unless something crazy happens and they get back in it. But I feel like there's a divide between uniformed and non-uniformed. And that link is between the GM and the manager.
Do you think Cora's done a poor job?
I don't think he's exactly rallied the troops, put it that way. I mean, I think they know that he's dissatisfied with the front office, and he's not hiding it. So I think that's creating a worse environment.
Cam and Newton have been holding on the Kevin Durant story. Hi, Cam. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, how you guys doing? Okay. Why the hell, I mean, I get it, he's like one of the best players in the league, but why the hell bring that nut guy into this team? He lives on social media. The guy is clearly not right. Ever since he hasn't been able to, like you said, Felder, earlier, hold a stable team. He spent 2 years in Golden State. He already wants out of Brooklyn. I mean, the Celtics pretty much disabled the whole Brooklyn thing. What's going to happen in a year's time from now? And the flight risk thing, everyone's a flight risk. What's going to happen when Kevin Durant goes on social media and someone disrespects him or something happens? And then the whole team falls apart over a terribly stupid trade. I feel like it would just ruin this team's chances in forever.
Okay, Cam. I mean, you're bringing up reasonable risks, but it's not like I wouldn't go acting like this current group of Celtics players, you know, lock them in for, you know, maturity and, you know, be able to withstand. You know, it took them half a year, you know, for a year and a half, they were trash. They were a mess. So in the second half of last year through the finals, they dialed it in and got it together. Are you totally convinced that something else couldn't happen to send them in the other direction? Are they that? Have they fully grown up and matured to the point where they couldn't revert to what they were for the previous 2 years?
No, the finals showed you that.
I mean, come on.
No, and the other thing is, if we're talking about the wild card element with Durant, how did Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown deal with social media and everything? Because it doesn't feel to me like they do all that good a job with it either.
So, look, I agree with you that Durant's not a great fit for Boston, and there's a lot of questions about his makeup and all of this, but, you know, I wouldn't say that you're 100% guaranteed on all those things with your existing team, by the way, and I disagree with you. I think Jaylen Brown is more of a flight risk than Kevin Durant. And at least, let's just say they're equal flight risks, at least you have 4 years of team control over Durant. If Durant wants to fly the coop, you can get something for him. If Jaylen Brown wants to fly the coop in 2 years, you get Bupkis. Unless there's some sort of, you know, like sign and trade thing, which is, as we know, a minor consideration. Who's the longest order of wait? Jeremy in Westport on the McVay offense. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Nope, not on the McVay offense. I'm on the Pats, buddy. But anywho, I'm concerned about the Pats training camp. This different offense. And honestly, I've said this to you guys before. If we don't at least have the same record as last year, and even that's an understatement. I'm concerned about Mac Jones in his second year, as we all know, with these two dumbos calling shots. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we don't have a good year, Belichick, his kids, Cheeto face there, Joe Judge, they can all pound top, put an egg in their shoe, and beat it out of town because I've had enough of it.
Okay. I wonder how Kraft feels. Kraft has signed off on this. So,
and they supposedly love Patricia.
They have supposedly, reportedly, Zoe on down have told us that they love Patricia too. So I would hate to think they're all on board for this offensive change and we're going to take our lumps in year one and this is a transition year. This is a bridge year to get on the other side. By the time we get to year two, the offense will be installed. Everyone will be comfortable with it. By the way, they'll have more money to spend next year, and sort of next year is the go-for-it year. Next year is the year the thing fully matures. We all understand that. We're going to withstand the 5-11 year, 5-12 year, whatever, and I would hate to think that's what's going on.
Well, the owner's on record is saying they haven't won a playoff game in 3 years.
So which is it, Robert? Exactly. Which
I mean,
is
you
it?
Know, he does a pretty good job of playing both sides of the street. You know, there was that comment, too, about when Patricia and Judge were brought in or something of the effect of Kraft saying, yeah, he does some strange things, but they usually work
Look,
out.
You don't have to change the offense, and you don't have to have Patricia and Judge as the guys changing the offense. You don't have to do these things. You are choosing to do these things. So I would like to think he's going to be held accountable for these decisions. Jesse in Plymouth on the Red Sox. Yes, Jesse.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love the show. You guys are hilarious. There's been many things wrong with the Red Sox this season, the Chris Sale and the pitchers. You can add Jaren Duran in the outfield, so on and so forth. But one thing I want to ask you guys, because I've been getting a lot of comments on this on my YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, so on and so forth. Is Jackie Bradley Jr. a good outfielder, or is that just me saying, like, he's not a good outfielder? Like, I've been getting a lot of hate that he's a terrible outfielder. But
who said it? I'm just going to cut you off. Everyone acknowledges he's an excellent outfielder.
Yeah, he's a good outfielder.
He's not what he used to be, frankly. He's dropped off a little bit.
But defensively better than Jaren Duran.
Oh, please. And he could put the glove in his feet and be better than Jaren Duran.
And they hit the same. So, like, I think in that respect, Jackie Bradley should still be here as a defensive replacement guy off the bench, etc. And Jaren Duran should be back in Worcester.
I agree.
But I think Jackie Bradley blows. He's just a good glove. But, there's a lot of guys that can field the position and can't hit.
I mean, if you had told me that he was going to be the fourth outfielder on this team, I'd be okay with it. You just can't play him all the time.
Dave and Lynn on the Pats. Hi, Dave.
Hi, yeah. Just think about a year ago. Mac Jones was coming in with arguably probably the best one-to-one mentor, teacher-student relationship with Tom Brady and working under that to now this year where he is the one that's in charge.
Dave, I'm just going to let you go. Your timeline's a couple years off.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brady's worked wonders with him.
Yeah. Robin
Maine. Yeah, I meant Hoya.
Go ahead, Rob. What do you got?
Oh, hey, first time, long time. Hey, I want to talk to you about the Giants game tomorrow night. I think Matt Jones is going to be in for a long night with Wink Martindale's Giants defense. Brian Daboll's got a lot to prove. They got Kyle Thibodeau. They have the new corner. They have Xavier McKinney. I think it's going to be a very long night for the Patriots offense. And it's going to be
Smell it, Rob. I'm with you.
We're not going to see any of those names.
Exactly. Not going to be a long night for Mac Jones, because even if he plays, it's going to be for about 30 seconds.
I'm not focusing on those particulars. I'm focusing on a money-making opportunity.
Oh, Giants.
There's no way the Pats are ready to go.
What's the line?
The Giants?
They're not ready to go.
The Giants blow, Mike.
Mass, the Pats have barely put on pads. They've only had
What's the line?
They've only had...
I'll look at that.
The Pats have only had like 2 or 3 days where they had both pads and competitive practices. Like they had a couple of practices where they put on the pads, but they didn't really hit. So they've only had like 2 or 3 days. Maybe it's 4, but there's not many. They've had, I think, under a handful, if I'm right about this, under a handful of padded practices where they actually bothered thumping just a little bit.
Yeah.
They haven't done goal line. They haven't done short yardage, which most teams do by this point, just to sort of knock a little rust off. They've been scaling back every the offense has been so bad most days that every other day they're scaling back the next day.
Okay, I got that part.
They can't protect for Mac Jones. I don't think they're going to play him.
What's the line?
DraftKings has the Giants favored by 3 points.
Yeah, they should be. This is it.
No, only by 3. What if it was like 7?
But the game's in Foxborough.
I know it is, but it's preseason.
I learned my lesson on this. I nailed a preseason pick a couple years ago, and I got tushed with a second half comeback, like by the fourth stringers. Was that the
Washington
the
game.
Redskins?
Yeah.
I can still say they were the Redskins at the time. So I learned my lesson on that. I should have, because I think the Redskins were up 17-0 at half or something like this. I nailed the thing. The Pats weren't ready to go. They got thumped.
But you lost.
But then there was a backdoor thing. So I've learned my lesson. What's the first half line? Do you get, can you get that for me?
Let me try to find that. Hold on.
That's a good one. I like this first half line. Pat's Giants.
Free money. This is free freaking money.
I don't know. Pat's defense is playing pretty good.
Mail it in on the G-men. Brian Daboll, first game, he's got to have him dialed in. The caller's right. A first-year coach wants something approved. You see, I mean, I didn't watch a ton of the game, but it felt to me the other night that the Raiders played balls to the wall.
Oh, it says premium access. I'm not paying. Get out of here.
We'll get it from
We do have a certain affiliation at DraftKings Sportsbook. We should be able to get a line on this. What's the
Joe or Lifshitz? Text us.
What's the maybe I just got
Bankroll Boys.
Okay, anyway, either way, if you like money, Giants. Giants tomorrow night.
You know what? You might be able to sell me on this.
This is a no-brainer. The Pats are not red. There's no, as badly as the Giants suck, they can't be less prepared than the Patriots are right now.
And Bill might throw the game for Daboll.
That too. Okay, but not. Trust me. If you like money. But that's for tomorrow. All right, the final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Buddy.
Nope.
It was the 2022 official debut of the big boy, or the artist formerly known as the big boy, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, on the show today. Here's the 10 questions recap put together by our Kevin Maggiore.
We still on?
Good question. Maybe we're not.
We might not be on.
We might not be on.
Greg, thoughts on the 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson, the league's appeal, and what should be the ultimate resolution of this?
Well, I think what Deshaun should have done, said, you know, look, I obviously have a problem.
I know you're very results-oriented. I get that.
Speaking of McVay, he signed a contract extension with the Rams. Does he deserve to be the highest-paid coach in the league, Greg?
Absolutely. I mean, he's the guy.
It's a fail all around. Fail, fail, fail.
Name a team you're expecting to make a big jump from last year, Greg.
It's got to be the Ravens.
Name a team you're expecting to take a big fall from last year, Greg.
It's got to be the Ravens.
It's a fail all around. Fail, fail, fail.
Greg, rank your top quarterbacks in the NFL and give me the list until you get to Josh Allen.
We did this at the end of last year. I said he was elite last year at the end of last year.
Shut up, Greg. Your turn's over. Mahomes, Burrow, Rodgers, Brady, Allen.
I know you're very results-oriented. I get that.
All right, and this is for all Patriots fans, because maybe you've already answered this question. If you had the option to go to just one Patriots road game this year, which one would it be?
It's Vegas. Please. It's Vegas and a runaway.
Vegas is very tempting because it's Vegas.
Yeah, we're going to go to Vegas. We're going to see the Pats get killed and then see some strippers.
Oh, sorry.
And that's what that trip is going to be, too.
Pretty much.
For people.
Yeah, lose some money and see some strippers.
I miss the Bedard 10 questions recap.
Me too.
Nice to hear that again.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, that'll do it for us. Here comes the baseball hour. What do you got, Anthony?
Jared Carabas of DraftKings will be with us. It's Wednesday night, but yes, we have our Carabas. So Carabas will be with us. We'll talk about Chaim Bloom, Chris Sale. Jared has a little nugget as it pertains to the trade deadline.
More of Jared's tasty nuggets, folks.
He will share with us. And also, I want to talk to him about Austin Riley, the third baseman of the Braves, because I think there is a direct correlation to something happening here in Boston with the third baseman of the Red Sox.
Okay, stay tuned. No commercials, just an update. Then you get Maz. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 for the Patriots pre-game show.
All front shift!
Yeah. Preseason game number one. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm playing only the first half, baby.
I'll be here all 4 hours. I don't know how much longer you're going to be on radio for, but I'm booked for four.
Yeah, whatever.
What are you talking about? Are you really doing
We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock for a two-hour show. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.